This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
I'm standing in front of Penn Station in the heart of New York City, and I am dressed as an old-fashioned bellhop. I mean, full-on white shirt, button vest, and I have a top hat on, and I have a gigantic head, so it was very hard to costume that one. But I am hired as an actor, and I'm going to use that term very loosely, for a very large citywide event for Hyatt, and it was called Hyatt Palooza, and I'm getting hives just talking about it. So they hire this gigantic amount of actors to get dressed up as bell people and run around the city all day, and we're handing out chocolates that say Hyatt on them. That was the gig. And it was like, it's Hyatt Palooza day. And everyone was assigned to a specific area of the city. So you kind of had like a territory, if you will. So I remember the other actors getting assigned to like go stand outside Rosie O'Donnell's talk show and try to get in. That was their territory. And so you can imagine this was, I guess, late 90s at this time. And other people got to hang out at diners. And at the end of the day, we're talking about all the French fries and milkshakes they got for free by handing out chocolate to people coming in and out of the diner. And I get assigned Penn Station. So I get to throw the chocolate to annoyed commuters, mostly from New Jersey Transit. And this was not huge fun. And I can tell you that. And it was the day that I realized I never wanted to do like a dress up and hand out stuff as an actor, big air quotes on that one, ever again in my life. And so this was just one of the many jobs that I've had in my lifetime as an actor, and surprisingly, something I had in common with today's guest. He was not part of Hyatt Palooza, although I think my day would have been much better had you been there with me. However, you too have been an actor who dresses up and hands stuff out, right?
Oh my God, yeah. I have been dressed in fuzzy purple helmets as the energy saving police handing out magnets for an electricity shop. I've also been handing out energy drinks. I actually met my husband, not doing this, but while I was doing this, I was handing out Nobby's crisps a long time ago at train stations in London, dressed as Inspector Gadget. Yes, so that because of an interesting story when I first met my husband was like, hi, what do you do? Well, I'm an actor. And then one of his friends had said, I'm sure I saw that guy you were dating handing out crisps at Charing Cross Station. So yes, I did my fair share of that before I kind of entered the world of events, and also while I was in events. So there you go. Again, like you said, it was acting, but it was in between my auditions and theater gigs that I was kind of making money.
Yes.
What can I say?
So this phenomenal human who now forever, I'm going to picture the moment you met your husband, you were wearing like a fuzzy purple hat, just FYI, even though that never happened, is the event professional, Steve Brown, who clearly is going to regale us with tales of all sorts of fabulous things, including being the energy saving police. Who knew that was
one day only.
Yes, just for one day, as I was the bellhop for Hyatt Palooza. Who came up with that theme? Anyway, okay. One day I'm going to meet the person behind the Hyatt Palooza, and I'm going to make him pay for my therapy. Okay. Steve Brown, welcome to Speaking of Events. And speaking
nice to
of
be here, and I love the background.
Thank you. Speaking of crappy actor gigs, not that this is not a crappy actor gig. I was saying it could be. Anyway, I'm going to move on. All right, Steve Brown, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
How hard it was to put them on. No. And that only comes up when people think it's so seamless and so easy to do. So I it's funny. I think I mentioned to a lot of friends when you work in events, like, hey, we could do this. Oh, can you just do this? And hey, can you tell me how I can do this? Or what's the best restaurant here? And you're like, whoa. Yeah, I think it's how hard it is to make it look easy. I think that's probably a good thing to kind of say to people. It's not as easy as you think to put in on events. That's what I would bring to the table on that question.
Absolutely not. How do you make it look easy?
A lot of work and practice, I think.
Yes, a lot of sweat.
I think, going through a lot of mistakes as well and learning by them. I'm sure that's everyone's experience on it as well. But I obviously started from the ground up and experienced a lot of learning curves from kind of not serving for catch a bird at networking events where it's in between their teeth and these really senior leaders are trying to talk to each other with seeds between their teeth. Lesson learned there on the menu choices. So yes. Note to self.
Any other good nuggets of mistakes?
Oh gosh, there's been a lot. I don't want to sound bad.
it's learning. You're teaching. Teach the people.
Yeah, I think food's definitely something that you kind of have to navigate around and choosing the right kind of menu for stuff. I definitely remember learning that in my early days. And, you know, just what can and can't work. And that kind of comes through practice, right? So like, oh no, this, taking colors from a logo that's blue and pink and putting balloon pops for blue and pink. Yeah, but you haven't got balloons with popping things and it looks like a baby shower, because I definitely did that before.
Well, so nice.
It's just, you know, how aesthetics can turn bad on you as well.
You inadvertently did a gender reveal at an event, basically.
Hey, it was a great award, I will add, but not my fault the logo is pink and blue. But no, it was very well received, but people walking into the room initially were like, oh, pink and blue balloons. This is a gender reveal party.
Yeah.
Little
things. Well, we live, we learn, right?
Exactly.
So I think we had talked a little bit about this. You're currently on a break from the event industry. You had had a stint with Shutterstock.
That's
and
correct.
Have recently left. Mm. So you want to dive into
that? Yeah. Do you know what? It had nothing to do with the company I was working with, It had more to do with events and COVID, to be honest. I think like many people in the industry, when COVID arrived, seems like forever ago, but also not that long ago.
Yes.
It was really kind of on the back of that was I joined Shutterstock about a couple of weeks before, and it was a maternity cover. So it was only ever supposed to last 4 months. So I'm actually eternally grateful that job did carry on for over 2 years. But within that time, it was hard. It was hard for everyone in the industry, right? Our jobs were kind of turned on their heads for those who actually still kept on to their jobs. You know, I was fearful every day that, hey, I work in events and I'm not traveling, I'm not doing anything. What is this job still going to be here? Particularly as it was a contract role. So it's been the last 2 years of kind of having everything flipped on its head, the whole stress of kind of learning new skill sets and moving into, there was always the online events aspect, but it really hit home during COVID and kind of learning that. I think at one point I was writing outlines of podcast episodes and really getting much more involved in the content piece, which was great experience, but also not where my skill set lay in kind of venue negotiations and you know, budgets and all of that kind of on-site logistics and flying by the seat of your pants type thing. So I kind of wanted a break. Things, and just when you're kind of getting used to all of that and the new nuances, then suddenly we're back open again. The world's opening up again, and suddenly you're expected to ramp up at a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I've got the energy to do this. It's very exciting events are coming back, but it seemed like the right time to kind of go, do you know what? I'm going to take some time, because mentally I just felt a little bit burnt out. And what's been very nice is speaking to People within the events industry all kind of felt the same. Some people actually left totally and went down different career paths completely. But those of us that kind of still hung on, they're now kind of regrouping and you know, re-employing teams again and managing that. So it's a lot. There's a lot going on. And I just thought it was the right time. I felt like I had built a team up at Shutterstock, actually. I'd employed an event manager and event coordinator, so I didn't want to leave them in a bad spot. They were more than capable of kind of bridging the gap while they backfilled my role. And it was like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to freelancing, which kind of was what I was trying to do at the beginning. Taking on the 4-month contract was a little bit like, hey, oh, put right. my foot in the water there. I feel fabulous, I have to say. Recommend a career break for anyone who is able to do that. And again, yes. Thank you to my husband for allowing me to kind of quit for a bit. So
it's very European of you to do it. I mean, right?
I know. I'm getting kind of bored now. So I'm definitely, I've got a couple of freelance gigs lined up and I'm kind of grateful for that. But yes, it's been a nice break. Got to go back home to the UK and see family. But again, miss Shutterstock. I got a text from one of the colleagues there just letting me know how the events are going. You know, I like to keep a finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. How do you think, having talked to the colleagues at Shutterstock, you shared with me, you just saw some old colleagues, I don't know their age range, but former colleagues. How do you think we're doing kind of as the very smart person who's stepping back and taking stock, no pun intended, that how do you feel we're doing in terms of mental health?
Yeah, do you know what? I think personally, and this isn't just about events, I think this is about everyone that went through it. We're a little bit damaged by it, I've got to say. I'm sure we'll come out this bruised. I think from a mental health point of view, I think what is positive side of that is people did kind of go back to what was important during lockdown, and, you know, hobbies they picked up and relationships or not relationships. I know relationships that broke down during COVID, but I think from a mental health point of view, it's great to see events come back. I have to say, I think at one point it was like, where is our industry? What's happening to it? It was almost mourning of it. Certainly that's the way I felt. And it was like, wow, is it ever going to be the same again? And, you know, we are taking some huge positives out of that. Digital events obviously will be there in some shape or form for quite a while now. But from the mental health aspect, I think it was just important for me personally going through all that was just to be good to myself. So, you know, I'm using this kind of little break to kind of do some fun stuff that I've always wanted to try and do. And little things like, you know, Eurovision's around the corner. It's one of my favorite things in the whole year. So it's like, yeah, do you know, I'm going to sit back and relax and check out what the songs are and things. Just getting back to you a little bit, rather than being in this headspace where it's like, what am I doing? What's my job now? Where am I going? What's happening here? Oh my God, have I got a job? Will I have a job? I hope that the listeners are probably understanding that as well in events, because I think we all went through it together, and anyone in the hospitality industry or those industries specifically affected by COVID, which I guess was everyone, but I know recruitment and things like that were buoyed a little bit. They didn't necessarily experience the same changes within the industry that we did.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was hardcore slap in the face and then push down and then
we did get a chance to recover. We're literally like, events back, so come on, get on with it. It's like, wait,
right. What's the problem?
Still recovering.
yes exactly. Breathe. Yeah. Anytime I go anywhere, especially in hospitality, going to a restaurant, and I have a young daughter who's sometimes gets a little frustrated, like, oh, why is it so slow? And I'm like, we're giving everybody grace. This is, we're all recovering. Everybody's coming back. Yes. Stuff is going to take a little longer. And I wish everybody would understand in a lot of industries. Just give everybody a little breathing room, please.
Well, there was also, I think there was an element of when things did start and come back at the tail end of last year, It was like, how do we network again? What do we do? Okay, and then it was right. also accepting, right, okay, is it right to put on this event right now in this little window yes. before Omicron then hit? So yeah, there was a lot to navigate for the return to events. It didn't come back just easily. There was a lot of new rules, regulations, and things that you had to be aware of, and that differed state to state. So yeah, it was... It having grace, yes, just giving a little bit of grace was good. It was as we all kind of navigated back into it. It wasn't just going straight in, or it's exactly the same as what it was 2 years ago. That's not the case. I hope it will right. be and better. But yeah.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. What are some of your favorite types of events to work on? Like, would you, if they called and said, Steve, come work on Eurovision, would you do it?
I would love, I would kill. I would, if anyone that's out there is listening, I would love to work for Eurovision. Although, wow, that's a pretty monumental event. I love awards and events that kind of have, and it's the actor in me, right? I, you know, it's what I wanted to do originally before I kind of fell into events. Putting on a show, which I guess, is every type of event, but some of the ones, you know, when you've got a huge party or a huge awards dinner where it's kind of one night only, I love those. I did some great events with Incisive Media, actually, that I worked with many moons ago. And I did an awards for like 1700 people, and we had like a full-on fairground going on at the side of the awards, as well as the awards themselves, multiple drinks receptions, then an after party at a club. And, you know, I was exhausted leading up to it, and I was exhausted afterwards, but it's the spectacle. I think I really enjoyed that element to it. But you know, I'm not saying I don't like the conferences and awards. You kind of do get a buzz out of that, but definitely, conferences is kind of smaller events, but the awards and any kind of launches or, you know, any kind of parties that you can kind of put your little spin on it and come up with creative ideas and, yes. and the wow factor, I guess. I love that. And that's very much about kind of going on stage, right? It takes it a little bit from that, where it's like, one night only, you've got to get this right. But instead of going out as Hamlet, which I've never done and I would love to, you're kind of going out as the event owner of that, the person everyone's coming to, the most important person, just for that little section on site for all the vendors to come up to. And everyone's like, what time the drink's going to happen? And is this happening? Is it? It was good being the point person. So yes, awards is the answer to that. That's my favorite type of event. But and I would love
like a little bit of glamour.
Yes.
You like the glamour.
You know what? It's been so long since I've had to put on a tux. Anything that requires, maybe I'll just put it on in the house.
I don't know why. I'm a little disappointed you don't have one on now. I'm still moving forward with this recording. So, and you would love to jump in. What would be kind of the ultimate gig?
I think Eurovision would be fab. Although I'd kind of want to sit and watch it. So I wouldn't necessarily want to be running. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of was always the thing. The event was over and done, and you were so worried about all the technical bits that you didn't enjoy the show. So maybe not Eurovision. I'd also to do the Oscars. Isn't that everyone's dream? But can you imagine dealing with all of those egos?
Well, especially this year, yes.
Right.
just a little rough. Yes. Okay. Was that the Oscars or that was the SAG Award? Okay. Anyway, moving on. You know what I do. You know what my company does. Yep. Not just this podcast, the speaker training, which I am obsessed with. So, do you have a speaker disaster story you would like to share with our audience?
I think anyone who works in events, particularly conferences, has probably experienced speakers not show up, right? Or, you know, speakers running extremely late, and it requires like, okay, a bit of a kind of changeover on the agenda. What can we rejig here? Which speakers are here and which ones we could put in front?
Right.
Interestingly, a lot of the roles that I've had, I've been very lucky to have production team that are responsible for actually the speakers. So the award speakers, I kind of did, and there was some great comedians we used back in the UK for our awards, but been very lucky to have like a production team that are responsible for kind of the speaker element of it and that kind of thing. So not too many, but I did have a funny story about interviewing someone. So I It was for a junior position, and we always put scenarios to people in jobs just to get an understanding of where, what can they think on their feet, basically. So
right,
you come
right,
to scenario
yeah.
in the interview process. And I never forget one of the people interviewing for an event coordinator position, fresh out of college, actually. And we were like, okay, what do you do? You're at an event and it's like 5 to 9, your event starts at 9 with an opening keynote, but that keynote speaker hasn't turned up. And, you know, you'd expect to hear answers about, okay, well, I'd find out who's responsible for the speakers to find out if we can rejig the program and slide things in, or I'd ask if we can delay the conference, all of those kind of go-to solutions. But this person looked me in the eye in the interview, said, well, I would, hopefully we'd have had their slide deck in advance. And I would get up and give the presentation. And I was sitting there going, wow, this is like a, I think it was something obscure, like a derivatives conference or something very kind of financial, or even quant, which way over my head. And I was just imagining this event coordinator getting up and giving this very interesting right. presentation. Wow. I mean, yes, I think I might have gone on to hire her. I can't remember.
I mean, but, I would have, because frankly, that is probably the answer I would have given. But I think if it's super financial, which, hello, no, actor, I would have, I think I would have said, oh, I would look for kind of like, the, if this is the keynote, then the secondary,
yes.
like the B star or whoever's there, and try to
could
push
someone
them.
Someone give the presentation.
Yes,
yeah.
Or, you know, or right, move them around. And if I had to get up and vamp, I could do that. But there's no way I'm giving somebody else's.
No, I'd get up and do maybe an improv, or like yes. maybe we could put on a scene to keep the audience
yes.
diverted. But I'm sure that wouldn't have worked with the financial audience. Sorry, guys out there. But yeah, I almost wanted to see it happen. But kudos for coming up with that as
yes.
thing. But no, not too many bad speaker stories. I think there's probably an element of getting the right speaker for the right audience. Okay, so definitely there's been conferences maybe where it was a very political time when we may have misread the audience and got the wrong speaker involved. Not naming any names there, but yes, it's kind of being aware of which speaker you engage is for the right audience and at the right time. Pay attention to what's going on in the world out there,
yeah.
and make sure you're not hiring someone who is. It depends if you want to be controversial, maybe. But yes,
It's key. Right speaker,
yeah.
right. Yeah,
it can be good, or it can kind of, yeah, it can kind of bite you on the bum.
Yes, bite me on the bum. Exactly. Thank you. Oh, we just found the title of today's episode. All right, Steve. So you're born in Newcastle, and for those who don't know, that is. Northern England, right?
Yeah.
And you moved to London at 7.
I did.
And
yes.
and
the streets were, of course, meant to be paved with gold. So of course,
yes.
I moved to London. But yeah.
Yes.
It was actually from a little town. For anyone in the UK that may be listening, it was a little town in
yes.
between Durham and Newcastle. Very, very small town called Consett. Born in there, but classed London as my home, and that's kind of where I spent my formative years.
And now here you are in New York City.
I know, right? And I'm really surprised at the lack of sirens today, because no one would be.
I know, I'm disappointed because I miss it, right? I'm now outside of Boston.
No
I miss
day
my,
in the city.
Right, my long years in New York. So how did that happen? Take
yeah,
us
it was
on that journey.
Yeah, a job brought me over here, which was a fantastic opportunity. And I will be forever grateful to Incisive Media for this. Yeah, I was a senior event manager in London, and there was an opportunity, and I've been senior event manager for a while, and there was an opportunity in New York to come over and kind of head up their operations team out here. And of course, I jumped at the chance. It did mean there was rather not an uncomfortable conversation, but it was kind of like, okay, I've kind of in a long-term relationship right now. How's this going to work? So once I kind of navigated that, it was a very, very easy move for me to make. I didn't think it would be. I'm a bit of a homebody and extremely close to my sister who lives in London. But yeah, we moved, I think it's just over 8 years ago now. So with the job, fantastic opportunity. and stayed with that company for around 5 years. So yes, that's what brought me here. And it was an interesting learning curve, actually. It was huge, especially dealing with a company who's headquartered in London. So, you know, working out, hey, the budgets you set in London aren't going to cut it in New York. It's probably more or less on an equal par now. But yeah, there was lots of things to navigate within the events. Well, even how you label things. Everyone was talking about high boys. I'm like, what are these high boys? Do I need to know them? Who are they? It's like poser tables, as we call them in the UK.
Yes.
And I kept walking around going, hey, doing announcements, you know, if you could join the queue. Everyone's like, what is this queue he's talking about?
What's my queue? Right.
Exactly. And even there was something I discovered fairly recently about, we call auto queue for awards. It's like, yeah, I've got the auto queue. The EV team were like, what are you talking about? And it's called a teleprompter out here. So yes, there was, it was interesting coming into a New York office and just being the one with the strange accent, though there was kind of a lot of Brit people in the office. But yeah, even all of that and just labor, you know, the cost of labor and also kind of unions and things, and also how it differed in state to state as well, and navigating all of that. But I was so like a sponge. I wanted to absorb everything and you know, it was all great experience. But yeah. Not without some of it's like, what is this? And hey, where are my ropes and posts? And everyone's like, what is he talk about? Ropes and what? Stanchion. So yeah, I've kind of
yes.
when I go home to the UK now, I get told off a lot from the different Americanisms I may have picked up, which I almost forget to kind of adjust on the flight on the way off there. Must not say these words, must not say that, right. Must not soften my T's, must not say it.
Right, don't walk in a room and go, you guys.
And also the lil, everyone kind of says I go up on my sentences, right? So yeah, it's right. Been a while back. But from an event point of view, it's fab to come over here and kind of just, and I was brand new. I'd only ever come to New York for like a long weekend once.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I definitely relied on my team at the time. And I was traveling a lot within the first year, and someone fearful of flying, that was fun. But yes, it was interesting kind of seeing all the, just getting used to a new city and the event venues that were on offer here and that kind of stuff. So yeah, but I really enjoyed it. It was probably one of the best moves that I made ever.
So glad. And where did you get married? This is totally off topic.
Oh, wow. So that was a whole story in itself. So basically, my boss at the time kind of had a timeline of me being out in New York around the beginning of Feb. And what was interesting is same-sex marriage hadn't been made legal in the UK at the time. So it was still a civil partnership. So what that meant was we needed to find a country that we could go to, because obviously from US law and for the visa, it needed to be an actual marriage. And we could have married over here, but I kind of wanted to get married beforehand. So yeah, we ended up getting married in Denmark. It was like one of the few countries that was close to the UK that you didn't have to stay in for a long period of time to get married. And we had to be there, I think, 4 or 5 days. So we did a whole lot. Well, if we're going to be here for 5 days, we'll start off somewhere and just spend every night in a different place in Denmark. And yeah, so we got married in a place called Ribe, and I probably butchered how to say that. Yeah, and it was fab. Just weirdly, just the two of us. It just timed that way. We were hoping to get our parents out there, but we followed up with a huge party in London. As anyone who knows me will attest, I love a party. So there you go.
Well. Clearly. Did you plan the party?
We did, of course. Okay. Yeah,
of course. So, right.
Which it was so quick, everyone was very understanding, so I felt like it actually, working on such a short time frame, it just meant we couldn't mess around with like, should we go and do it here and do it here? It's like, okay, that place is good, this place is good, let's just do it there. But no, it was fab. It was a little bit weird when I got the job, because I kind of had to ring my then partner, then became my husband. I was like, hi, got the job. He's like, yeah. I was like, so we're getting married. Bye. That was my proposal.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm not sure marriage was on the cards for him. I'm not sure he ever would have done, but I was going to give him maybe till 10 years of us being together before I was going to ask, but yeah.
Well, he's still there.
Benefited from coming to many a drinks reception at the end.
Right, right. So,
you know, he's got the perks.
Oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate it. So, Steve Brown, are you ready for our lightning express round?
Ooh, nervous. Go for it.
Okay. 45 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Do it.
I'm ready.
Is this all events related or is this just anything?
You're just going to have to wait and see.
Okay. Wow. Surprise.
Question one. You're going to drink first. What are you drinking?
Coffee. You know, necessary.
Coffee. And I knew that because we had a discussion, because I would have very sort of unknowingly, had we not talked about this last time, I would have said, are you having tea? Are you having a cuppa? And then you told me you don't like tea. You like coffee.
No, I'm letting my race down, particularly because I'm from the north of England, right? It's a very big tea drinking area. But no, I'm a coffee. And I think I mentioned to you on that, I've kind of been a convert to iced coffee, or certainly iced lattes.
I never
got into it, but that's, hey, when in America, when in NYC, they've got far too many good coffee shops.
Get some ice. Okay. Here we go. Ready? Mm-hmm. What is your favorite moment in the event process?
Ooh, probably the end. Well, conferences, I prefer the venue aspect, like going along doing venue visits, and also menu tastings are always good. But I would have to settle on the event itself, being on site, running around like a headless chicken. Fire.
Yes.
Fire. Love it.
Love it. Okay. What is the weirdest habit of Americans?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Because there's so many.
No, I think I'm a bit Americanized. They talk loud.
Oh, we're so loud. We're so loud.
But then I'm talking myself, so that's not really a thing. No, I love Americans. I love this country. This is where I'm at. There's no annoying things.
Oh, they're so nice. Okay.
Not knowing what cues are or
rugs. Oh, yes.
There you go.
Right. Not knowing what cues are. Got it. Okay. Who do you consider your mentor?
Oh, I have been really lucky enough to have some great managers in my time. The very first company I worked in was an event agency, and the lady whose company that was, I am still in touch with today. And that was from far too many years ago that I care to remember. Oh, it depends. I think in every job I've had, I've definitely come away with a new mentor. But yes, that very first event I had, and also the head of ops, who was head of ops at Incisive Media that got me the job in the US. Oh. I still consult with her on things now. So yeah.
Love it. Okay, this is a rapid fire 3-in-1. Ready? Okay. So applicable to what you talked about before, so I'm super excited. Ready? Elevator or lift?
Lift.
Garbage or rubbish?
Rubbish.
Fries or chips?
Oh, I've started saying fries.
Have you
but
really?
Fries in the UK anyway now, so yeah. Kind of.
Oh, they say fries now. And then a big bonus, because you talked about cookies or crisps, right? Is that's cookies and crisps are the same thing?
No, chips and crisps.
Oh, chips and crisps. Oh, see, now I missed
it. But cookies, I still say crisps.
Biscuits.
Okay. Oh, biscuits and cookies. Yes.
Biscuits and cookies.
Okay. And I still say biscuits, because...
As well, you should.
There's cookies in the UK, but they're just a type of biscuit. Yeah, right. Biscuits.
Okay.
Oh my God, I've come out of that so British, haven't I? Everything I've chosen.
I loved it. I know, I loved it. Because, you know, you get a biscuit here and it's like, you know, like it's a biscuit. Okay.
But also, you can have gravy and chicken with your biscuits here. What? That's not what we do. That is not what we do back home.
I know, but it's so good.
Butter, jelly. Refer to it at home. Terrible.
Yeah. What do they call biscuits and do they like the...
It's kind of can be a couple of things. Dumplings or scones. Oh. I think scones or scone if you're really posh.
Scone and a biscuit. We've gotten way off track, but I'm excited.
No, can you imagine coming here and having to look at menus and understanding what the different foods were? I mean,
please, do you know how many times I've told people you didn't know what a luau was?
Oh yeah, that too. That was my improv days. I did do some acting in the States as well, like for fun. And they'd be like, right, you're at a pep rally. And I'm like,
what's that?
But of course, improv is yes and anyway. So you just kind of go, okay. But no, the food, actually, I remember that's a really important point. Looking through the menus from hotels and be like, what is this? Is this really what people eat? I think one of them was peanut butter and celery as a kind of, I'd never experienced that. I was like,
okay, no. My question is, what hotel are you going to that's serving peanut butter and celery? Because that's like a preschool snack.
It was like an added break supplement or something. It wasn't a whole menu, but I was like, I'm not choosing that. And everyone's like, oh no, you should. It'll go down really well, of which it did. But that was not something I was at.
If you're at a fancy preschool, so preschool's the nursery school right under kindergarten, they'll give the peanut butter in the celery with raisins on it. And then they call that ants on a log.
I think I've heard this. I think someone's told me that before. Yeah. Yes. See, there was so much of it. I'm trying to remember some of the other foodisms. I was like, what are those? Like,
do you say rocket instead of arugula? Yeah. That one got me. When I went to the UK, I was like, a salad of what?
What is this rocket you are speaking of?
And I'm trying so hard not to be the loud American. I'm like, oh, what? Oh, okay. Well, what does that look like? And they're like this. I'm like, oh, it's arugula. Okay, I'm fine.
And I guess black and white cookies are very New York thing. They're their actual thing. If you say black and white cookies, you know what they are. And I'm like, well, what are that? What is this? What is this black and white?
It's a black and white.
It's black and white.
Yes.
But yeah, there was a lot. Like I said, there was a lot to kind of get used to coming doing events out here, as well as just the general stuff. Is little things like black and white cookies and ants on a log. Did you say?
Yes, ants on a log. I don't know. All right. Do you want to get back to the lightning round? I think we ran out the clock 10 minutes ago, but I'm excited. Okay. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Ooh, well, I would like to say I run, but I don't. But it's the one thing that if I'm angry or I just need to step away from the desk, I started to do this a lot during COVID because you'd spend 3 days, you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't left the house. So I've tried to take that up, but I actually, you know, a real stress relief for me that I do every day is reading. I'm a massive book fan and I definitely, me and my sister have just bought a book that came out a couple of days ago. We're like, we have to read it together. And she sent me a message going, sorry, I'm halfway through now. I'm like, wait, I haven't finished my book yet. I can't. So she'll be ahead of me, but no, love reading.
That probably
doesn't keep me healthy, but
mentally healthy. This is subjective, whatever it means to you. If you were not talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Ooh, well, because I'm off work, I might have been napping. No. Probably surfing on the net for like nothing in particular.
Eurovision.
Probably looking at the latest Eurovision tracks and what's happening, scrolling through Twitter. Though there's been some very interesting political news came out yesterday. So I would probably be looking up that and hearing what everyone's saying about that on social media channels. So yes, surfing the net web. I'm showing my age now, but yeah.
On AOL. Okay, my final...
Yeah, still typing MSN Messenger. No.
Yes. I'm just going to get my BlackBerry. Hang on one second. Okay. And final question. You have lived in 6 different neighborhoods in New York City. Which is your favorite?
Oh, that's so not fair.
I know. Exactly. Because
I think for different stages in my life, they were all really good. I do have an affinity with Brooklyn because it was the first place we landed in. And that's kind of, although Williamsburg, I'm far too old to be living in Williamsburg now. But I did love that. But I kind of like where I'm at now on the Upper East Side. It's very chill. It's a bit more neighborhoody. We found our little bars and our little haunts. But spend a lot of time downtown as well in the East and West Village. So that's so hard. I love Manhattan. I love Brooklyn. So... not done Queens yet. Maybe I'll do that next year just to add.
We'll see.
No, that's hard. I can't choose. I know. That's the answer to that one.
I know. That was a rude question.
But I'm in Manhattan and I have been for the last 4 years. So I guess that says volumes.
Yes. Well, you have made it to the end of the lightning round.
Wow. Not so much lightning as Lightning Striker's Roll of Thunder. But
it's like a light stroll, but I liked it. Yes. Yes, it was perfect. It was perfect. Thank you.
No worries.
Steve Brown, where, if they want to, can people find you?
Steve John Brown on Insta and Steve J Brown on Twitter. I need to set up a website. If I'm going down this freelance route, that's on my to-do list. So again,
how about the LinkedIn?
Steve Brown on LinkedIn as well. Yeah.
All right. We'll post your links. Oh, and cue the sirens again.
We couldn't have done this entire podcast without a siren.
It was happening a little earlier while you were doing
was it? Too, I hope that doesn't mess with the sound too much.
it makes me feel bad. I'm like, I'm so comfortable now. Okay. if I go someplace and I stay in a city and I'm a couple of floors above, I like to open the windows and hear the people screaming going down the street. I'm like, I'm home. This is great.
I was back home last week and honestly, I couldn't sleep because it was so quiet. I've gotten so used to the city sounds now. Miss the sirens, you miss the craziness of it all. So
I know. I'm gonna miss talking to you, Steve Brown.
It was fab.
Amazing. You are so welcome. Thank you for being a guest on Speaking of Events. I so appreciate your time. And thank you to the audience for listening. If you were in for a wonder, this was a delightful choreo romp, as I like to call it. And if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast, give us a great rating, stars, cheers, comments, whatever you want. Thank you again, Steve Brown, for joining us. I'm excited to see where you go and what happens with—
Follow me on LinkedIn and find out.
I'm already stalking you. It's fine. Good. And remember, everybody, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.